last month, we have been looking at this verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And we've talked about the message of the gospel. We've talked about the scandal of the gospel. We looked last week at the power of the gospel. And this morning, we're going to look at the call of the gospel. The gospel itself, we find out from this verse and other places in the Bible, is a very powerful gospel, that this is good news to all who are perishing. All sinners who are in need of God's saving grace can find it through the gospel, through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through holding that to be true and trusting in it with our lives. Will you stand with me as we read this verse, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and we honor God in the reading of His Word. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Lord, I pray this morning that You would continue to unveil this Scripture, to open it up, unlock it for us. Let us see the very power that You have to change lives and how that power is to be declared to all the nations, to everyone. Lord, I pray this morning that You would use this to work in our lives. And if there's any here this morning that don't know the power of Your gospel, Lord, that this would be the morning of their salvation, that they would hear and they would respond. They would repent of their sin and know You as Lord and Savior. And that You, Lord, You would show Your love to them. I pray this in Christ. Amen. Will you please be seated? We've looked at this verse for the last 3 weeks. We'll look at it again today. We don't have a lot left to look at in this, but I imagine you could spend your whole life looking at this verse and all the different aspects of it. But this morning, we're just going to look at this call, the call of the gospel. We're going to see that it's a universal call, that even though it's universal, it's also an exclusive call, and that it's a very uniform call. What do those things mean? I'll share that with you as we go along. First of all, it's a universal call. Notice that the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Of all. You know, this is a universal call that is to go out to everyone. This is not a gospel that we hold to ourselves and don't share with others. This is a gospel that we're to share among all the nations, among all people, among our neighbors, among everyone. Go to the next slide, please. The salvation of everyone. Gospel call is for everyone. I remember years ago watching some daytime TV talk show, and I remember in the talk show, they were talking to this Christian, and then another lady got up to ask a question, and then this Christian turned to her and said, well, do you believe in Christ? And she says, oh, that's a personal matter. That's between me and God. That's not something for anybody else to talk about. Well, you're missing the point. The gospel doesn't make itself just a personal matter. It makes itself an exclamation from our lives. It's for everyone. It's not just for me to hold on to my grave. It's for me to share with all peoples. Now, it's all peoples and everyone, no matter whether you like them or not. In fact, I would say that the people you like the least are the ones you should be sharing the gospel to the most. I had a woman one time who got saved, lived across the street. And I remember talking to her about, you know, we should go next door to your neighbor and talk to your neighbor about the Lord. Oh, you wouldn't want her in your church. Really, why not? Oh, well, she's not the kind of people that you would want in your church. And I said, you are? I said, what's going on? Well, you know, she wouldn't behave right. She's cussing. She does this. She does that. I said, she's the very person that needs to know the gospel, isn't she? Gospel's for all people. Because there's no one beyond the saving power of the gospel. That's the most marvelous thing to me. You can be the most moral person, always doing what the law tells you to do, and you need the gospel just as much as the murderer and the thief and the adulterer and anything you can come up with. The gospel has the power of saving everyone. There's no one beyond it. There's no one who should be denied the gospel message. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 24. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Interesting thing about that, all nations. God really means it. When Jesus commissioned His believers, His disciples, to go out, He told them to take this gospel to all nations. And yet there are people who don't think that we should be preaching it to everywhere. One of the books that we were able to give this morning to our graduates is David Platt's book, Follow Me. In David Platt's first book, Radical, he shares about having gone to a church in the South and told them about just great stories of God's movement all over the world, in closed nations and nations where the gospel was having, you know, what you would think a hard time penetrating. He was sharing about people coming to Christ and people sharing their faith and going through horrible tortures for their faith. And he was at a meeting afterwards with the deacons and the pastor, and one of the deacons says to him, "David, I think it's great you're going to those places, but if you ask me, I would just as soon God annihilate all those people and send them to hell." What's wrong with that? He has no idea what he's talking about. The gospel is for all nations. Yes, that even includes those who, in the name of other gods, destroy the nations. That even includes those who call you and I enemies. That includes those who do horrible things in the name of their God. The gospel is for them. How do you think it's going to end with this war on terror? How do you think it will ever end? Fanatical Muslim extremists who want to just destroy this country and kill as many as possible. Do you think that our armies will ever be able to overcome them? I'll tell you what will. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel goes out even to our enemies. There's no one beyond its power, and there's no one that it should not be offered to. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30. The Apostle Paul says, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent." The gospel is for all. It's a universal call. It goes out to everyone. It is not something to be held and not shared. 2 Peter chapter 3. "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You know, it's an interesting thing that those who really understand this, that those who truly have the gospel living in them and working through them, that those whose lives are truly changed for Jesus Christ, by Him and for Him and through Him, they find that they can even love their persecutors and love their enemies. Richard Wurmbrand is the founder of a group called Voice of the Martyrs Ministries. He wrote a book called Tortured for Christ. Richard Wurmbrand was a Romanian pastor when the communists took Romania and the Soviet Union ruled it. Under communist Romania, the pastors were thrown in jail and beaten and tortured over and over and over for many years. And yet Richard Wurmbrand said that he would not hate the communists themselves. He hates communism, but the communists themselves he prays for. He said, I have seen Christians in communist prisons with 50 pounds of chains on their feet, tortured with red-hot iron pokers, in whose throats spoonfuls of salt had been forced, being kept afterward without water, starving, whipped, suffering from cold, and praying with fervor for the communists. Go to the next slide. He said, likewise, Christians tortured by the communists rewarded their torturers with love. We brought many of our jailers to Christ, and we are dominated by one desire, to give communists who have made us suffer the best we have, the salvation which comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel call is for everyone. It's a universal call. But the interesting thing is, it's universal and yet it's very exclusive. You know, some people think that the gospel should be inclusive and everyone everywhere should be able to be saved by doing nothing at all. There are many who call on the gospel to be, God loves you and will let you into heaven no matter what. But you see, Jesus Christ said that it was exclusive. Not all will be saved. There is not a salvation for every person on the earth, because every person on the earth will not accept the gift that Jesus Christ freely gave. Only those who will repent of their sins and believe and trust in the gospel that Jesus Christ died for them, that they can obtain true life through him, that their sins will be washed clean, and they will turn to him and live for him. Those are those that the gospel will include for the salvation of everyone who believes. 2 Peter 3:9. Read that verse to you again. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's a big difference from saying that we're all children of God and we will all be with God for eternity. No, that's not true. The gospel's exclusive. Only those who will repent, only those who will hear the message and allow their hearts to be broken before this great God, only those who will see their sin for what it is and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, will be saved. Acts 17:30, again, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. You see, the universal nature of the gospel is that it's given to all, but the exclusive nature of it is that not all will repent. I've read this week quite a bit about those who believe that the universal nature of the gospel means that there's really nothing anybody has to do to be saved. There are many, there's been some statements by the current Pope that many people wonder, does he truly believe that all will come to eternal life, whether or not they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? I just have to tell you, Jesus Christ himself made it very specific. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Matthew 7, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. The gospel, given to all, but not accepted by all. In that way, it's very exclusive. But the gospel call is the same for everyone. It's a uniform call. Scripture says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto the salvation of all who believe, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. There's only one path. There's only one way There's only one salvation. Jews and Gentiles are saved the exact same way. You know, it's interesting. Last Sunday, somebody approached me and they had a book in their hand. And this book was by a man named Hagee, John Hagee. And as soon as I saw the book, I told that person, you don't need to be reading that person. You want to know why? And at the time, I couldn't remember. Wait a minute, I just know there's something about this guy and his writings and his doctrine that's off. So I sat down Monday and spent a little more time and talked to this individual again. What's going on? Well, here is one of the things. Hagee is a word of faith preacher that preaches what we call the prosperity gospel. So I tell people, stay away from anybody who's telling you health and wealth, come to Christ and get new cars. Stay away, bro. But the second reason, and I love how God does this, turns out to be exactly what we're talking about this morning. John Hagee has written quite a bit about his support for Israel and his support for the Jews. And John Hagee has made some incredible statements. Go to the next slide. This is what he said. In fact, trying to convert Jews is a waste of time, he said. Everyone else, whether Buddhist or Baha'i, needs to believe in Jesus, he says, but not Jews. Jews already have a covenant with God that has never been replaced by Christianity. This is called dual covenant theology, and it's been growing in this country among certain circles of believers. They have this idea that in the end times, all the Jews will be saved by going back to the covenant that God made with Abraham, well, God made through Moses, going back to the sacrificial system. And they don't believe that they should preach to the Jews, because they believe that somehow preaching to the Jews is morally wrong and offensive. And there's a lot of those, like myself, who were Jewish, who came to know Christ, and it breaks our heart that somebody would deny the Jews the gospel of Jesus Christ. That somebody would stand up and tell the Jews in Israel, don't worry about Jesus Christ, you are already part of the kingdom. Because Jesus himself didn't say that. The Apostle Paul surely didn't with this passage. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto the salvation of all who believe, first for the Jew, then the Gentile. What does that mean? Jews and Gentiles both need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go to the next slide. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, who was he speaking to? His Jewish disciples. Go to the next slide. Peter, when he stands up on the day of Pentecost, he's preaching to the Jews who had gathered for the festival. And he tells them that they have crucified this Christ, Lord and Savior of all. And the Jews were cut to the heart. And they said, what shall we do? And he says, repent and be saved. And later he tells them, for salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Folks, there's no other salvation. Can you imagine telling certain people, listen, I'm going to withhold this good news from you so that you can go straight to hell. The next slide. Do you know this gospel call on your own life? Do you hear Jesus speaking? Has he spoken to your heart? How have you responded? You know, the crazy thing about a gift is you can accept it or reject it. You don't have to accept the gift. Jesus doesn't come knock on your door and leave the gift at your doorstep and force you to pick it up and use it. Jesus comes and says, will you accept me? This free gift of salvation? Will you be washed clean? Will you find forgiveness for your sin? Will you be made right in the sight of the Father? Will you be made holy and just and blameless on the last day? Have you responded to this call? And if you have responded, do you understand that that call is for everyone, not just for you? Do you realize it's the only call? There's no other way. There is no other way. Mankind will never come up with the right thing that will make us right in front of God. We will never. There'll never be the right book. There'll never be the right school. There'll never be the right system. There's nothing that can make us right before a holy God except His gift to us, Himself. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't be a good enough person. In fact, when they came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher," what did He say to them? "Why do you call me good? There's no one good except God alone." People sometimes come up to me and say, "Oh, you're so good." No, no, no. I'm not. But Christ is. That gospel, that call, His life being your life, you answer that call, and do you share that call? Will you bow your heads with me? Go to the Lord with me. Close our eyes and block out any distractions around us. Lord, we open our hearts to You. We make them bare before Your eyes. Which, Lord, You see them no matter what we try to do to hide them anyway. Lord, we confess that You are great and mighty and worthy of praise, and we are sinful and worthy of damnation. And yet, Lord, we hear Your call, and we humble ourselves before it. Thank You for this gospel, this good news, this way of salvation for all who believe. Lord, we pray that everyone here this morning would know that and trust You and place their faith and hope in You and be washed clean. And we pray, Lord, that there wouldn't be anyone who would stop this gospel from being preached to all the nations. Lord, we pray for our enemies. We pray for the enemies of those who hate this country. Lord, we pray for the Jews, for every people group, every person, that Your gospel would be heard, that it would be preached, and that they would respond.